A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Am I like the worst guest for that sort of
stuff? Oh, you might be the most squeamish.
I didn't realise. No, actually, I knew I was squeamish.
I think we might have found an endurance sport that I've beaten you at.
Warning. The following podcast contains extreme language and themes and is not suitable for all audiences.
Hello and welcome to Dead Men Talking with me, Rob Mulholland, him a big fat cunt. We've got little not gay Tom in the corner. Hello. And we've got a very special guest with us today. Ultra runner, just dude who runs loads, does loads of Ironmans. It's Sean Conway. How you doing?
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Thank you very much. I didn't know the official description there, because you just do loads of mad shit, basically.
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, people would call me an adventurer. But right. I sort of cringe when people say that.
It does sound like you're going to go colonise somewhere. Yeah. I mean, like, aha! Yeah. I will adventure to the Congo.
It's like, it's in the same bracket as when someone, you know, if you had to party and someone says, what are you doing? You've said, I'm a poet.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
I have literally been that guy when I was a teenager.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah. Like, I don't understand. So, like, in my head, it's like, when you say I'm an adventurer, it's like, oh, what? Yeah. So, I sort of go with athlete now. Super ultra endurance, like, whatever's like the longest of the long stuff that you can think of is what I annoyingly am good at.
Just good at keeping fucking going.
Yeah, I joke that I have the perfect balance of a short-term memory and a low IQ. So it's like the Zen diagram of that is like,
that's all you need. I just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, within 5 minutes, I'm like, am I miserable? Is it? I can't remember. I'll just carry on.
I'll be like a goldfish.
Yeah, basically, I'm a stupid goldfish, yeah.
I'll be honest with you. When I heard that we were going to have a bearded ginger ultramarathon runner on, I was very excited.
Right up your street, isn't it?
The
old ultra marathons.
Yeah, but then I heard that
King size Snickers.
He's not finished running the length of Africa, so it was absolutely good. Actually, no, he finished today, didn't he?
He did, yesterday. Actually, yeah. His geezer. Yeah, fuck his shout to him.
I have absolutely, this is going to surprise you, Sean, I'm not a runner. Stop the press. Yeah. I'm not. I don't even like running. That's what I think of running.
He does sometimes run if the ice cream van's leaving.
Yeah. You have the runs a lot.
Yeah. I have no concept about how, like, what running the length of Africa means, because it's so big and vast.
Well, were you not the first to swim the length of Britain, was it? I was the first to swim the length of Britain, yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
That was hard, yeah. That's harder than running.
Yeah. Because you're mostly land.
Yeah. Sea swimming is crazy hard. Like, I used to live when I lived in Brighton, I'd go swim in the sea, and it's way harder than being in a pool.
So I did not realise that you meant swimming around Britain. I thought you meant like going through like a canal network.
Well, weirdly, in my original route was canal based.
Oh,
but
we'd have to get out at locks.
Yeah, you'd have to get out at the locks. But also,
I like the idea that he doesn't get out.
He just waits for someone to do it. Yeah. He's got tread water, waiting for a canal boat to come through. I used to live on a boat. Actually, it was great.
Yeah.
No, but you so from you could have gone up Cornwall. Baltimore into the River Severn. At Worcester, you get on the Birmingham Canal, and then you eventually work your way. You could almost do canals from Worcester through to Kendal. Right. But then you'd have to go across land to the sea, and then, yeah, so I'll just do the sea the whole way.
Yeah. How long did that take you?
4.5 months, yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's horrible.
surely you don't have kids or anything, right?
Yeah, I got two boys, yeah.
Do you just not like them or something? Yeah.
Do you remember their names?
Yeah,
do you know my dad?
yeah. No, it is like, especially when they were younger, if I'd go away for... Because I'm home a lot, when I go away, it's, you know, every 2 years, months. It was heartbreaking when I was only 2 weeks. I did a marathon in every national park in the UK consecutively, and then I got home, and it was only like a split second, but my eldest was like nervous. He was like, yeah. Who are you? And he was it's daddy, actually. Yeah, and I was like, oh, no, I don't want that again.
Yeah.
No, it is hard, yeah. Like with the Ironmans now that I did, you know, by the last 2 or 3 weeks, my son was like, oh, daddy, is your challenge finished so you can play with me now? I was like, oh, no.
Sorry. How many Ironmans was it?
105.
Christ, and explain what an Ironman is for some people who don't know. Explain.
Yeah, so an Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim straight into 112 miles on the bike and then a marathon at the end. And you've got to do it every single day.
That's so stupid. What's the hard bit?
Yeah. Sounds easy to me.
Oh, yeah, you'd knock that out, no bother, would you?
Knock that out of the park.
Yeah, easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would only take me several months.
The amount he would complain if he had to drive that far. Like, he would not shut up moaning about it all day.
I'd be so annoyed.
If you had to drive like 150 miles, you'd be gutted, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I've turned down work for that very reason.
That is insane. What made you decide to do that?
It was the fourth category in a category of world records. So you can get, there's four types of records, really. You can do a world's first, you can do a world's furthest or longest of something, you can do a fastest of something. And I've got a record on all three of those.
Oh, we've broken a world record. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir, really.
Yeah. Okay, what is it?
We drew the world's longest, we did the world's longest drawing of a train. We recently did that.
Yeah.
We tried to break some other records, but that was the only one that we managed to do.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen our world record special, but we did break a record.
Yeah, we did break a record. And also, spoiler alert, it came out 4 months ago. Get on it.
Who was the previous owner of that world record?
He was a lovely chap, a lovely young lad who we shattered his dreams. But, you know, we saw an opportunity, we took it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You've done all three. And then the fourth one is the most, you know, which is quite a common one, most eggs cracked in your head or something stupid, like. And because of, you know, doing all the triathlons and, you know, it just was kind of an obvious one for me, the sort of full irons.
Yeah.
And it was miserable. I've been trying to. They say there's type one fun, which is a roller coaster. Fun at the time, forget about it. Type two fun is miserable at the time. A year later, you look back and go, oh, actually, that was all right. That was a memorable experience.
That's not fun. That's not actual fun.
And type three fun is when it's miserable at the time, and a year later, you look back and it's still miserable, and that's where I'm at the minute.
That's Freddie's entire life, is type three.
It's very much this podcast.
I'm type one all the time. Tom is the ultimate type one.
I am always type one.
Like that, excited all the time. I very much disagree with that. I think only one of those sounds fun.
Well,
I get that you can look back on something that was hard in hindsight and be like proud of it and pleased with it or enjoy it, but it's not
like
fun.
The first lockdown. Yeah. It was rubbish at the time, but we look back now and go, oh, wasn't that first lockdown good?
I don't think that at all. I had several consecutive mental breakdowns. it was not good at all. But I see what you mean. But you're very much into the misery side of it, though.
Yeah, clearly. 100%. Yeah, I'm two animals in my personality. I'm a monkey and a terrier. And the monkey wants to make stuff and break stuff and fix stuff and have loads of different hobbies. And has a short attention span, but I love it, and it doesn't bother me. But I can't be a monkey for too long, otherwise I just get frustrated. I have to engage terrier. The terrier in me needs feeding.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for me, the only blooming way that the terrier gets fed is to chase these like really difficult challenges.
Yeah.
That's the only way. I've tried everything else, but it's the only thing that satisfies
the proper scratches.
Yeah.
It's actually two animals as well, a hippo and a whale.
I'm actually honey badger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, leave me alone or I'll bite your dick.
Because he's gay.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, so it's just, you know, I'm glad it took me until I was like 30 to work that out. Maybe even my mid-30s, really.
How were you just like a fucking lunatic
before? How old are you now?
43, so.
Because you look like an ageless beauty, do you know what I mean? Like, you look like a man that could be 31 or like 67.
Are you trying to fuck him right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just my honey badger coming out.
Like a man with stamina.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting a good age for the long, long stuff. You sort of peak in your 40s, I guess.
Really?
But, yeah. Well, that's actually, if you ran a marathon at the age of 19 with the same training plan, you'd biologically just get quicker until about 28. Yeah. And then again, with the same training plan, you would just slowly get slower. But you'd only reach your 19-year-old self when you're 64.
Right, okay. Mm.
So, you know, the long stuff favours.
Because it becomes mental at a certain point, doesn't it? Like, isn't it true that, like, at a certain, like distance level, the difference between men and women just goes away because it's all, like, psychological mainly?
Yeah, if you take injury out of it. So,
sure.
Yeah. You've got, unfortunately, you can't take injury out of it because, you know, you can be the strong, mentally as strong as possible, but
if your leg falls off, you're fucked. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah.
But, what's her name? Right. Sorry, like, I should remember, like, the British woman who just won the Barclays.
Yeah, Jasmine Paris, yeah.
Fucking unbelievable.
You didn't remember Jasmine Paris?
I didn't remember her name because my brain doesn't
fucking
work.
Fucking idiot.
But I look, like,
everyone knows Jasmine
I watched
Paris.
The documentary about the Barclay Marathons a few years ago. It's one of my favourite documentaries of all time.
So
I love
good.
It.
Like, have you done that?
You know what? So the ego in me looks at the data and the facts and I'm like, oh, 3 miles an hour, I could do that. Come on. You know, and then actually when, you know, she took 3 attempts to do it. Damien Hall didn't make it last year or this year.
Yeah.
And like, they're the best, you know, in Britain. And if they don't make it, I'm not going to make it. Like, I'm not.
You've got a crack, you know.
I think I'd have a good crack at it. Yeah. I think my sleep deprivation's good. My navigation's good. Probably I'm nursing a couple of injuries. I'd need to
maybe wait till you're fresh.
Yeah,
it's what you want to go into in good form.
I think 105 Ironman's probably not so good for the training.
Yeah. Maybe like have a bit of recovery after that.
A couple of years and then I'll be back on it. Right?
But the Barclay Marathons is like the most mental race on earth. For anyone who doesn't know, look into it. It's fucking crazy. But like, you should give it a crack, man.
No, I'm keen. It's one of those things on my bucket list that I definitely want to do.
Yeah, whereas I look at it and go, fuck that. Although I'm sure I could get into it, because at the Barclay Marathons, the guy who runs it, he's dead funny. Mm. One of the things he does is every year he puts someone in it who he knows will just fail because it's funny to him. Like, so he always lets someone enter who's just got zero chance, because it's a laugh for him. Like, when they come back like crying, he's like, hey.
Well, everyone
fails. Only before this year, only 17 people have done it. 30, 40 years or whatever. It's going.
Fucking nuts. And like when he thinks that it's getting a bit too easy, he'll just like fuck with it some more, make it worse.
Well, because this year five finished.
Yeah, next year's gonna be brutal.
Gonna be super hard. Yeah. I can't wait.
I love that shit. Like the dude who runs it is just exactly my kind of guy. Yeah. Like, he's just a lunatic who does stuff for a laugh. There's no gain out of it. Like, the entry fee is whatever he needs that year. So like, one year it'd be like, oh, I need socks. Everyone bring me some socks. It's fucking
class. And there's no start time. He gives you a window and he's like, we'll start anywhere between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Yeah, and it starts when he's like,
oh, fuck off. Yeah. Who is he like? Yeah. Fucking DPD.
Yeah, it
sounds like rock.
It starts when he lights a fag as well. That's how he starts it. He's like, right, on your marks, go. Yeah. And just as a ciggy as they go.
Could we
he's
do that?
Fucking class.
Could we do that for Dead Meat and just let people in based on presents that they bring us?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to sell tickets. Let's get gifts.
I have come to the conclusion, no offense, that runners are mostly morons. And if you if you just abuse them, but then give them a challenge, they're like, oh, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, right, I've done a new marathon where I spit in your face every mile. Like, oh, brilliant.
But you get a medal at the end.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a little bit.
Only three people have ever finished.
Yeah.
Every mile, I have some shit in my hand and I slap it across your face.
Make it harder, daddy.
I kick you in the balls and ram my fist up your ass and you've got to do it for 24 hours.
But you will get a t-shirt and a little trinket.
Yeah. There's just a love of punishment, isn't there? It's like, there is a weird like kink thing to it. It's like, you get all the punishment, but then you get a little bit of aftercare afterwards and it's all good.
It's just that thing to chase. I think we need to chase stuff. You know, I think it's just mammalian, you know. You've got to have that thing to beat your chest and a long, long time ago.
I mean, I'm more of the sort of guy that lets goals come to me.
You're a goalkeeper.
I just sit here and just let life's achievements come at me. And it's not working great.
No, he nearly died.
Not achieved anything so far, but
maybe one day.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, like there was a thing in the Telegraph the other week that like did my fucking head in, right? Like it was just someone like writing an article to be a prick basically and get attention. Where it was after Jasmine Paris had done the Barclays. And someone had written this article like, yeah, that might be all well and good, but doing those feats of endurance doesn't impress me. It's like, oh, well, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Oh, if it doesn't impress you sat in an office in London, who gives a fuck then? Right, well, why bother? Why bother doing anything?
It's crazy. I find it impressive.
I'm very impressed you've ran all those things, mate. It's stupid, but fucking fair play.
I find it impressive in the same way that I find space impressive. Like... you know when they talk about space and how big it is, you go, that's impressive, but really I have no concept of it. Yeah. I just know that it sounds ridiculous.
You have no concept of exercise.
No, I know.
Running,
like,
the final frontier.
But like, I know how I feel after doing 20 minutes on a fucking cross trainer, let alone doing a marathon and the swim and the cycle. Like, doing one Ironman is mental. Like, who gets to the end of one of those and goes, another? Because like even amongst Ironman people, they must look at you and go, he's nuts.
It's pretty rare to do multiples, I mean, I think so. I've got the world record, 105. There's a guy who's done 101. There's another guy who's done 60. There's a French guy who's done 40.
Yeah. Typical French.
French guy has done 40.
Je suis too tired. Yeah. Fuck off.
Well, I think he got injured. I think he came off the bike or something.
Gave up, did he? Surrendered.
Yeah, little white flag. Bitch. If you listen to this, you're a bitch. What's his name?
I've forgotten.
No, you've not. Hey, Jean-Luc, you're a bitch.
Yeah. Pierre or whatever. You could get fucked.
There's a couple of Italians who've done 30 and then 20 is sort of, but the people who've, basically what I'm saying is there's probably 50 people on the whole planet who've ever done more than two in a row.
Yeah.
You know, like it's pretty small, considering 6,000 people have climbed Everest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's quite a rare niche sport that no one's into and there's no prize money or anything. I didn't even get a medal.
Because no one else is competing.
No, exactly.
You don't get a medal if you beat no one. Yeah.
if somebody beat your record, would you go after them and try and get it back?
Someone's going for it this year, a friend of mine, who I broke his across Europe record, so I think he's getting me back.
Wait a minute, when does he start?
May.
You want to start your own Ironman the next day?
Yeah, just chase.
How demotivated would that be for
him? They both never stop, though. They both die on the road, age like 80, just like, ah.
No, I think if in 10 years' time, if no one's gone for 200, I might have a think about it.
I think
my kids need to be older now, they're too young.
Once they've grown up and you can just
someone will do a year though. Not in the UK, where the weather's too bad. Like in America, I've thought about it. You could do a northern route in the summer, southern route in the winter, long flat roads, play the tailwind game. So
how long do you reckon you could run for and not stop?
Well, it becomes a sleep thing, so you know, I'm not sure what the world record is. Well, so Guinness, if you're looking at Guinness, they're what they consider non-stop running is still allows some sleep, I believe. I'm not sure.
And are you a bit like, oops,
or maybe not sleep, but what is considered non-stop running? Physically stopping moving, stopping running. Like if you stop for a pee, have you stopped running? Right? Yeah. Is it sleeping? Is it, because what if you, you know, run and take 20 minutes off and then run again. So like there's some like big gray areas. But yeah, I mean, the record for non-stop running was, once you're hitting the 72 hours, you know, your sleep deprivation takes over basically.
A woman in New Zealand ran for 3 days straight, completing 310 miles without sleep.
Yeah. Jesus. So is that a distance one or a time one? So that's,
imagine having to do that on the way back as well.
Yeah, I mean, was she going for 300 mile record, or was she going?
She beat a record of 301 miles by Pam Reid in 2005. Yeah, there
you go. Oh, she did laps. It was 332 laps.
Mostly it's laps on that sort of stuff.
Would that not drive you insane?
No, I did laps of my Ironmans. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, it's good because you you need to take away as much thought process as possible.
Sure.
And
so you'll be surprised. Adapting to new terrain or whatever.
And thinking, like, genuine. If you did a continuous route A to B for 300 miles, you'd get to a junction and you would genuinely be like, is it left or right?
Yeah.
Even though you know it's left, you'd question it. You know,
because your brain must get in. It must, like, mentally, it must get.
Oh yeah,
crazy.
It's impossible. Yeah, I mean, I was.
Are you not just like constantly having little mini breakdowns while you're doing it?
Yeah, but then I'd forget about them 2 seconds later because I'm so tired.
Right.
But like, I'd forget my kids' names. You know, yeah. I'd be like, oh,
but yeah, you've not seen him for so long.
Yeah.
These poor kids. Yeah. Honestly, I am gonna one day find out that my dad's well into Iron Man.
Yeah. When I started seeing like flies around the house for sexy Spanish pool boys and we don't have a pool, I was like, right, but I should probably go home. Caroline's, you know.
Did you think about, like, did you have like, I don't know, like a routine of trying to keep your mind active or?
Well, the monkey and the terrier depends on how things are going. Mm-hmm. Like, if things are going well, the monkey's there just like, having fun and just, well, this is cool, solving world peace and then forgetting about it, you know. But when things are going sort of not so well, like maybe I'm down on time or power or my pace is down, then the terrier is super analytical. And there's 10.5 pillars of endurance, like, to get a bit boring now. But there's planning, experience, health, fitness, nutrition, hydration, sleep, muscle management, motivation, community, and then the 0.5 is luck. Right.
So you've got sleep and luck so far. You're on 1.5 currently of those.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just... exactly. But you've got to micromanage all of those, like,
so you're just constantly thinking, like, how is my health? How am I feeling? How's this going? How's my technique?
My muscle management, what sleep am I getting?
When
am
you say
I hydrated?
Muscle management?
Yeah, so I mean, what condition are your muscles in on a daily... You know, do you need ice bath? Do you need hot?
Right.
Do you need physio? Do you need acupuncture?
Do you stop
need stretching?
Fucking running.
Yeah. And you've got to imagine, because, you know, a little tightness in your hip could lead to bad tracking on your knee. And if you do that for 3 months straight, you're going to get no more cartilage. So then that's life changing. Yeah.
It's what ruined my ultra marathon career.
Was it? Yeah, that
bad tracking.
The cartilage, was it?
Bad tracking.
Yeah. Well, I was scratchings.
Yeah.
I always thought I had good tracking, but I didn't. I had bad tracking.
Bad tracking.
I don't know what those words mean. I know so little about running and I didn't know it was so in depth.
Maybe start learning.
No, because it's I just don't care about it enough. Like, the people
how do you know
it,
you've never tried,
are super passionate about it, and it's like, good for you that you found something that you're into. It's never going to be my thing.
I'm not saying you have to do 105 Ironmans. Maybe do a 10-minute jog around the park.
Nah,
I get it because I hated running until I was like 35.
I still kind of do,
but
I'm getting there.
And then you had your first kid and you were like, I'm going for a run.
Ah, it's quiet out here.
No, I was even worse. Cycling is worse because people who cycle longer than people who run, because you can do 6-7 hours on a bike without getting injured. I've moved more to the running since cycling, but I was a bit like you. In fact, even now, I'm not really addicted to sport. Like, I know you've had Pritchard on. He has to do it. Like,
yeah, Pritch has got the ex-addict thing. Like, loads of ex-addicts get well into running or sport and exercise because it's the only thing that gives you a buzz that doesn't kill you.
So
it's just keeping him going. And he needs that discipline because he's a lunatic.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not addicted to the exercise bit. I'm addicted to the chase.
Right.
So without anything to chase, I can get bit lazy, to be honest. Yeah,
I've only recently got into like any sort of exercise. I spent the first 30 years of my life doing fucking nothing, but then I stopped drinking and I was like, well, I've got to do something now. I actually like it now. It's boring and lame. It's like I was annoyed by how much I like it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine has started doing ultramarathons and he started doing like Ironmans and stuff like that. And he comes from a cycling and swimming background, but running's been the thing that he's become passionate about. And I hadn't seen him in about a year. And I met him last Saturday, and he looks like he has AIDS. He honestly looks like he is 3 months away from death.
Uh-huh.
He looks horrific.
Yeah,
like,
but this
he's
is what
so
who's...
skeletal. He's so every little sinew of like There's no fat on him. There's just he's like, it's literally skin on bone. That's it. And he just looks so unwell.
Yeah, but that's what you projected though. That's what you think looks unwell, but this is what unwell looks like.
No. He honestly looks.
You nearly died. You've got a big baggy fat heart.
Yeah. I've got heart failure, so I can't run.
And the bad tracking.
Along with the bad tracking, I've also got bad heart.
Yeah, that's what the doctors have said. No exercise, isn't it?
Is that what they've recommended?
The heart doctors.
Yeah.
Famously, they're against the cardio, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like my dad. He's like, oh no, I'm on the blood thinners. Can't do exercise.
I've always just like, I. The worst thing for me was like if you go to the gym and you run on a treadmill.
Because it's boring.
There's a big button there, and you can just stop instantly at any time.
You can also do that with normal running.
Yeah, you can do that with anything.
No, but if you run,
you just get on a bus.
Then it comes to a point where you're like, I've still got to get home, haven't I? Like, you know what I mean? So, whereas when you're on the treadmill, there's a button, instant stop, and you can get off, get in the car, and fuck off.
Yeah, but you got to like not let yourself. Like, that's the thing with it, is you got to be disciplined, because if you quit once, then you quit every time, innit?
This is it.
You need to find something to chase.
Yeah.
There
isn't women.
You have to run off.
Crucially.
If you ever heard the term, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak?
Yeah, but your spirit is not
Both of mine are unwilling and weak.
Yeah. What was your flesh? The flesh is fine but the spirit isn't arse. That was your. We've literally got a quote from Freddie and like that someone embroidered. That was what he said. The flesh is fine, spirit isn't arse. That was briefly before his flesh nearly died though, wasn't it?
I can't deal with the mental side of it. It's just like it must be monotonous.
Yeah, but I love it. Yeah.
No. But you get all the endorphins in that though, innit?
Like, no, not the stuff that I do, because I'm quite low paced. I'm not like pushing it hard. There's, you know, just trying to keep it slow and steady.
It's just as miserable as you can make it.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just, I love it. I love just having something long to do and just settling in, because I'm just better at that than real life, I think. You know, like real life is
I hear you.
I'm like, oh, what? It's just like, it's boring for me. Like, oh, I got to do the chores and the shopping and like the stuff for the kids is fun, but everything else about life is just like, it's dull, isn't it? And like, so this gives me that little bit of excitement to just, and I know what I'm doing isn't exciting, but the process of it just takes me out of this like, paying the bills and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. What was your pace when you were doing the 105 in?
About 14 hours was my average. So
14 hours every day?
Yeah, trying to keep it and zone one heart rate. To get very boring. But yeah, trying to keep my heart rate like 110.
So that's central London. So that's just like keeping your heart rate not like...
110, yeah.
Right, so yeah.
Like super low.
You do not want to go zone 4.
Why?
Because that's way too high.
Yeah.
Zone 4 heart rate is...
I think yours went to about zone 15, didn't it?
No, my heart rate was all right. My resting heart rate's not bad.
Just sounded like an old accordion. Yeah. That was the problem with it. If you put a stethoscope on it, it was like...
it was just my blood oxygen levels were just dreadful.
Yeah.
And still continue to be. But I'll be fine. Yeah. I'm not going to die. I might die. It'll be fine.
Take iron.
If I die, I'll die on my own terms.
Yeah?
Yeah, just
sat on your ass, doing nothing. Yeah.
Watching Tipping Point.
He died as he lived.
Dying of a heart attack is at your own terms anyway. Yeah. It's not like you go, I'm going to have a heart attack now.
Yeah. He says all this. He has joined the gym. He's like, he's very coy about it.
I've not joined it yet.
We've
not signed on a dotted line.
Right.
I'm going to text him this week, though.
Yeah, like the gym made him sign an extra waiver on top of the normal one because he's so close to death.
He actually wanted me to sign 2 waivers, which I think was him being a cunt.
That's fucking.
Have we got any news?
Yeah. We've got some news.
Good.
So, yep. What have you got coming up next, though, man? Like, sure, like, we've got another challenge in the pipeline. Have you got another thing planned?
Cycling Land's End to John O'Groats in September. Running...
That's like a day trip for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's fun. It's going to be fast. So it's with a group of people, 7 days. So it's a push. It's 130 mile a day. Running across Scotland at the end of August. That's hard. That's 215 miles in a one. So,
well, if you end up in Edinburgh, we've got shows. Come see us.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're running through, I'll stand outside my venue with a bottle of water.
Yeah. I can have a pint.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I got run over when I cycled around the...
Sorry.
Yeah, this is bad.
I know. I just wasn't expecting... I nearly did a spit take on me water. I thought it'd be like, oh, my tendon, my ligament. Yeah. But Jesus.
No, I got hit behind. I was on my bike. Guy hit me doing 50 mile an hour, bang in the middle, hit the windscreen. I actually don't remember a thing. I went to bed the night before in a town called Bald Knob. And then... woke up in the hospital the next day. So I'd gotten up.
In Bald Knob Hospital.
Bald Knob, yeah, yeah.
A lot of paedophiles were there.
And the way Bald Knob was right near the town called Conway. So I was like, what? What are the chances?
Yeah.
And
Bald Knob Conway is what you're looking at on the map.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, fractured spine, dyslipidemia, concussion.
Did they finally go? Did it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he stopped. Yeah, he was amazing, and everything was.
I wouldn't call him amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he got better.
He started from a low bar.
Yeah, yeah. No, to be fair, I was cycling on a road you would just never cycle on. But I was legally allowed to be there. But if you knew any better, you would have avoided it. But I was just following a line on a map, you know? Mm. So, yeah, no, he admitted fault and everything. And actually, you know, you hear those war stories in America, like, you know, they get you in the ambulance and they look for your insurance. And if you don't have it, they chuck you out the back. None of that. By the time I'd woken up, they'd done like $50,000 worth of stuff to me, whatever, like MRIs and x-rays and ambulances and all that. And they were like, you know what? If you don't have insurance, we'll just write it off as bad debt because we feel bad that you got run over near on our turf, you know?
That's nice.
A private hospital. The guy, the owner was just like, yeah, you know, we'll try and get it off the driver. Yeah. And if we don't, you know, that's it. And so, yeah, honestly, the Americans were amazing.
That's lovely. That's really lovely.
No, it was heartwarming. So
I'd have left you to die.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I also, other than that, I did my shoulder in doing the Gloucestershire cheese rolling. That was pretty
You
bad,
did that down the hill.
I came second. That's gutted.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sure. What year?
2009.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I won it 2008.
You just stood at the bottom like this.
Yeah. You do keep, if you win, you keep the cheese. I was gutted. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, no, that is gutted. You get nothing for second, I imagine.
Tenner.
You got a tenner?
I got a tenner,
That's
and
class.
A certificate.
That's fucking class.
And the certificate I got, they didn't even bother to like sign it individually. So it's like a fake scanned on signature from whoever the chairman of the Gloucester Chief.
Yeah.
I'm like, how many? You're not giving many of these out. You can at least like sign each one.
How busy are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I love a low effort prize. I love that. The crappier it is, the sort of the more I want it.
Yeah, exactly.
I sent one of our fans a bull clip this week as a prize. single bull clip.
A bull clip. Not any bull clip though. A bull clip that would have been clipped to you at some point, I imagine.
No, it was one that I found here. I thought they might think it has been, but it hasn't.
We have sent some truly atrocious prizes.
Well, there's that red paper. Clip guy who got a house eventually.
Oh,
maybe your bull clip guy. You'll be laughing when he gets a house.
Oh, not with our fan Sean. He's going to clip that to his testicles and masturbate. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah, like our fans are. No one's got £1 million house to trade, right? Like, I think that's very safe with our fans. You might be watching or listening to this going, wouldn't this be better if I could also smell the guys who are doing this? So maybe come see us live.
We are doing the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
Rob, you're doing your own show for the whole month. Where are you going to be at?
I'm going to be at the Caves. It's on Cowgate's right in the centre. And I'm at 8:55 p.m. every day, apart from one of them. I think it's like a Monday in the middle, but you know. Don't come to that. It's going to be dead good.
I'm doing the second half. I'm doing from the 13th of August onwards. I am doing the Cask Room at the Mash House, again, right in the centre, right next to the Caves, actually. And mine's at 5:05.
And we're going to try and do some live podcasts as well, so come check us out. Like, have a look at those in the brochure. We haven't officially confirmed the dates yet.
So if you are a Dead Men Talking fan, please come down. We'd love to see you there. Get pictures. Come say hello. Stop
us. Mainly give us money.
Harass us, harangue us.
Yeah.
Touch us.
Yeah, touch Freddie. Just without saying anything, just walk up and rub his face.
Oh, right. Okay, here's a rule. Right, Rob said that this is fine. If you see Rob in Edinburgh, take your finger and just try and ram it up his ass. No matter where you are or what he's doing.
Freddie doesn't really like greetings, is the thing about him. So watch him what he much prefers as the flamboyant gay man he is. Just tickle his bollocks. Just walk up, tickle his bollocks without saying anything.
Do you know what? If I've been walking around Edinburgh all day, you fucking touch them at your own risk.
But if you can't be asked going to the Edinburgh Festival, then Freddie's going to be going on tour.
I'm on tour, baby. I am on tour October and November. I'm going to 20 different cities all across the UK and Ireland. There's some places that are
dead close to selling out already. I think they'll probably be sold out by the time you're listening to this. And there's other places as well that have literally limited availability.
Some of them really aren't selling at all, though, so buy those tickets.
Shout out to Darwin and Cardiff. No, they're actually doing all right, but they're just not as well as everything else. If you want tickets, then head over to freddiequinn.co.uk, Freddie with a Y, Q-U-I-N-N-E.co.uk, and get your tickets right now before they sell out.
The Army of the Dead needs you. Join us at patreon.com/deadmentalkpod to get even more from this podcast. If you love it, you can get an extra episode every week. We've got loads of specials on there. There's more stuff going up all the time. And most importantly, you are the reason, you who've signed up to the Army of the Dead, are the reason that we can go so hard. The reason we don't need to give a fuck about upsetting anybody is that we have you behind us. So join us at patreon.com/deadmentalkpod. Get yourself a free trial for a week. If you like, it's £3 a month. You get loads of extra stuff. Now, here's a little taster of a recent episode from Patreon for you to enjoy.
I know this is silly, but why are there not 5 stages of cancer?
I think stage 5 is death.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah. I think they're doing like a baseball.
I'm afraid you're. Jack, I'm afraid your father has stage 5 cancer.
How long have I got left? Left?
I know, it's stage 5. He died some time ago. Stage 5 cancer.
I like that it's like a baseball base system. It's like, where'd you get? I got to third base with cancer last night. Yeah, lost all my hair. Yeah. Got lumpy tits.
I got to second base cancer. Did you feel a tip? No, but I lost one. I just think it's weird to have 4 stages.
Yeah. Did you feel the tip? Yeah, brought home with me.
Have 5 or have 3.
But you're going to just have to make up another stage. You're going to have this flimsy half stage that isn't really a stage.
Have a stage in between 1 and 2.
I think they've just counted how many of the stages there are.
Have a stage between 1 and 2.
Rather than, they haven't created stages, though. They've counted how many stages there are.
Have a stage.
I don't know. You start when you have another stage at the start. So stage 1 cancer is no cancer.
So we've all just got stage 1 cancer.
Yeah.
So we're like, how are you? I'm doing all right, actually. I've got stage 1 cancer. No, oh, thank fuck.
No. Stage 1 cancer is like Schrodinger's cancer. You might have or might not have cancer.
So stage 1 cancer is when you think you might have cancer.
That's not anything. You don't have anything there.
No, I know, but you don't know.
Well, we're
when you identify as having cancer.
So you feel something on your nipple and you feel like, oh, that's a fucking...
Oh, I've got lumpy areola.
That immediately is stage 1.
Right, but it might be stage 2. You don't know.
Exactly.
You don't know until you find out.
The stages aren't about, like, do you think the stages of cancer are like going to the doctors, finding out you have cancer, being sad? It's like, no, it's about how the cancer is developing in your body.
Sure, and stage 1 cancer is cancer might
It's curiosity.
It's Schrodinger's cancer, I'm telling you.
Schrodinger's cancer, shut the fuck up. Schrodinger is such a, like, thick person's idea of a clever thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Schrodinger's clever.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've got a new story here for you.
Oh, yeah, Tom.
I got sent this last minute, and it's a good one. Man appears in court naked over emotional support cat going missing.
That's a lot of words in a sentence, isn't it?
There's a lot of things happening there. Surely the last thing you want to be is naked around a cat.
Yeah. Also, emotional support cat is a very grand term for animal you're fucking. Like,
Because that, I imagine that's what he's doing. I imagine he's bumming a cat. And he's like, it's my emotional support animal.
It's such a poor choice of emotional support animal. An animal that doesn't give a fuck about you, famously.
Yeah, they have no emotions. Get a dog.
Yeah.
This story's from Ireland.
All right.
Why did you say it like
I don't know.
That?
I don't know why.
Like it was some far off land.
We're going to our new section, Irish stories.
The first three words are a Dublin man. A Dublin man appeared in court nude and refused.
Two of them.
A Dublin man appeared in court nude and refused to wear clothes after his emotional support cat went missing during a traffic stop arrest. Joseph Davis, 51, appeared before Judge Marie Quirk at a weekend sitting of Dublin District Court.
So, like, why is he naked?
Well,
do you know, in his head, he'll have proved a point really well. It'll be one of those things where he's like, aha! You see why you were in the wrong now? He's just naked crying because his cat's
until you get my cat back, my cock will be on display.
Mr. Davis of Ashington Mews, Dublin, was charged with road traffic act offences of failing to give Garda, which is Irish for police, his details and not keeping his car stationary during an alleged incident on Friday at Dunsink Drive in Finglas. Judge Quirk heard the motorist refused to wear his clothes when brought to the courthouse. She remanded him in custody with consent to €200 bail, directed medical attention and asked Garda to find out what happened to his cat, Oliver.
So just to clarify, they went to take him to court and he was like, I'm naked, I'm not going to court. And they were like, well, we're taking you anyway. And he was like, fine, I'm not getting changed. And they brought a naked man. So Ireland don't give a fuck, do they?
Mr. Davis entered the courtroom naked with his hands over his private parts, but within seconds, he stood with arms outstretched to argue his case after rejecting the services of a lawyer.
Yeah, you don't say. Like, your lawyer's going to have a word with you about that, aren't they? They're going to be like, look, right, you know, plead guilty, not guilty, whatever you want, but I am going to have to insist you put your bollocks away.
Yeah, just put some boxers on.
Yeah.
Pair of shorts.
Very funny that he shuffled in covering it and then immediately he's gone to like the Michael Jackson pose.
Yeah.
Just like, ah!
I don't see his wallet on him today, the judge remarked, at which Mr. Davis interjected and said, you don't see fucking anything.
Yeah, but you should see where he keeps his cards.
Mr. Davis went on a tirade but was warned that...
A
tirade.
A tirade.
Tirade.
A tirade.
A tirade.
It's Irish.
Yeah, it's Irish for bus. What are you, a tirade?
Yeah.
A tirade.
It's a word that I don't say very often.
You thick cunts. Tirade.
There's a lot of pressure reading these out.
There's no pressure. There's no pressure.
There is because I know you two are going to shout at me. Mr. Davis went fucking mental, but was warned that anything said must be relevant to the case. Let me tell you my story. This is him speaking. Let me tell you my story. This is relevant. This is my story. What happened yesterday? I was travelling with my companion pet, Oliver. He normally comes into this court. I was dropping off legal documents pertaining to a legal case in the High Court, he said. He claimed he'd been lent the car involved in the alleged offence and demanded, now where is my emotional support animal? Judge Quirk set his bail and directed immediate medical attention where he remained in custody.
I love it that he's just gone, can we get this guy help? Like, you know, the judge has been very nice there, I think, actually. That's a very, like, nice way to... Let's get him some medical help.
What if this cat's job was to dress him?
What, you mean like a Disney character?
Like, in a morning, that's what the cat does. The cat dresses him.
The cat puts his pants on, some doves put his hat on.
Yeah, yeah. And now the little squirrel brings a scarf.
Now the cat's not here. He's like, well, what am I to do?
Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Wear-little.
While escorted from the courtroom, he replied he did not need a doctor, just his pet. The judge assured him, saying, all that will be looked into.
Bless her. Bless this judge. This is the sweetest Irish judge. He's like, all that will be looked into. We'll get you emotional support cat in jail.
Yeah.
Christ. That's so funny. Like, I love like the idea, like when he calls it a companion pet as opposed to the other kinds of pets. You know, that's what they're for.
I want a pet, but to stay away from me.
It's absolutely amazing.
I think there's some pets like that aren't companions. Fish.
Yeah.
You wouldn't call fish a companion
Depends
pet,
on the fish.
You? No fish is offering emotional support.
A puffer fish are incredible. They're like little dogs. Like they're incredibly intelligent. Like they're fucking well cool. Porcupine puffer fish are amazing. They like follow you about. Like they do little tricks to get food and stuff. Yeah. They've got like proper personality.
Hey, not in the bed.
Down
off the furniture.
But yeah, like obviously, yeah, most fish are fucking pretty brain dead. Yeah. Yeah. But like, I think he struggled to argue he had an emotional support goldfish.
Yeah.
Just had a little bit of string flapping along behind you.
What do you think is the worst pet?
Oh, anything like iguana or anything like that.
I nearly got a python as a kid. I was gutted.
There you go. That was the worst sort of pet.
I wanted something like that. I wanted like a tarantula or something. Yeah. But my sister freaked out, so it wasn't a goer.
I'm surprised you haven't got a snake.
Yeah. I've got big snake energy. Yeah. I've had aquariums a lot. Like, that makes sense. Yeah.
Both really like shedding skin as well.
Yeah. Little psoriasis joke. Nice one.
We don't do them enough anymore.
No, we don't really. No.
I think anything like that, anything reptilian, I think is a shark.
Tortoise?
No, because the thing with tortoise is
big commitment.
There's a sweet novelty.
I wanted to stitch my kid up and get him one of those when he was born, one of those 100-year-old ones.
Yeah, like a Galapagos one.
Yeah, like, you know, when he leaves home at 18, you're like, this is yours. I mean, guilt tripping to keeping it.
I mean, to be fair, I think he'd probably love it because it can't run away.
Daddy, the tortoise cycles away. Not again.
Parrots are fucking bad for that though, because they live fucking ages,
and parrots are also awful.
They're really hard to keep. They're really noisy. They fucking stink, and people get left them in wills and that because like they live for ages. Yeah. So like, if you got left that in your will, just the stinking, noisy, swearing, fucking horrible parrot.
I'd honestly, I'd kill it on the way home. Yeah, I people who have aviaries and. Bird houses.
I'd love
and
to
shit.
Watch you try and fight a parrot. A parrot would peck your
just
head in.
Let it go.
Fucking.
Why have you got to kill it? Open the cage.
I would batter a parrot.
He's there trying to get it in a sack so he can throw it off a bridge.
I'd smash a parrot to bits.
I honestly think if we let a parrot out in a room and you, I think the parrot would win.
No way. Yeah.
By heart attack. It'd win by heart attack.
Nah. Because what I'd do is I'd put a bit of parrot food just on
What's parrot food?
A mixture of grains.
A mixture of grains. Ah, how could it resist?
No. Do you know what? Grapes.
Why?
I feel like parrots like grapes.
Sunflower seeds. That's what I'm going with.
Let's Google it because no one knows what parrots eat. What do parrots eat?
Seeds. It's definitely seeds.
Not necessarily. Definitely. They've got a big like. Oh, maybe. Big, might be like
maybe
meat.
Fruit.
It might be meat.
Maybe fruit.
There might
it's
be
not really meat.
Well, it's got a big, like, sharp beak. It could be a
carnivore.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does that look like a mixture of grains to you? It fucking does.
It actually does quite a lot like a mixture of grains.
It's a mixture of grains.
Freddie has done his once a year correct guess.
I absolutely nailed it. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a mixture of grains and a grape in a little pile on my hand. Yeah. And then I'm going to
You're going to smell the cheese.
I'm gonna have the fish
You're
going to
smell
it.
The cheese, a parrot.
And then when the parrot comes, I go poof like that. Fucked. Yeah. Absolutely fucked.
I think a parrot would absolutely bite.
A parrot would peck your eyes
I'd
out.
Knock a parrot out easy.
Parrots are well strong.
And nimble.
Yeah. We had a warthog as a pet as a kid.
What?
That's the most Zimbabwean thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And a monkey. Yeah. Until the monkey bit my dad's ear, so he let it into wild again.
Yeah, those are incredibly difficult to keep pets. How do you tame a warthog?
Well, they were orphans, you know, like the mothers got killed or poached or something, so we just like looked after them.
So do you live in the Lion King?
I did actually. Yeah.
Where else in Zimbabwe did you live?
In a place called Mana Pools, which is a big national park. My dad's a rhino and elephant conservationist, so we just grew up in the middle of the bush. No electricity, like nothing. It was holy crazy shit.
Wow.
That's where you grew up.
Yeah.
Fucking wild thornberries over here.
That picture of the elephant, I mean, that could be my dad. Yeah. I mean, like, that was my life, growing up as a kid. Yeah.
What, just growing up around elephants and shit?
Yeah, it was annoying, man, because like, I'd wake up in the morning and like all the water in my paddling pool was gone. And my mum's like, where's this blimmin' hole? So she spent like a week looking for the hole and then woke up one morning, elephant was coming and drinking all my water.
That's great.
This is something we have in common because I also grew up around elephants. Yeah. Fat family.
Yeah. Every morning there'd be a big bowl of food that was empty. Yeah. Mum would be like, where's the hole in this? It's a big KFC bucket, empty every morning.
Yeah.
Like, Freddie, with your little greasy face, come on, let's look at what's happened.
Are they not dead aggressive elephants?
If you piss them off, yeah, definitely. You can tell though they like wave their ears and they do a mock charge and all that.
What's the one animal that you wouldn't want to fuck with?
Oh, well, hippo is the deadliest animal in the world, other than the mosquito, I think, or something. Or mammal, deadliest mammal, anyway.
They're just like solid muscle, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're massive, and they're very territorial, and they eat grass, so when they... And
notoriously
they eat
hungry.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
I'd still batter one.
Yeah.
You reckon you'd batter a hippo?
Hear me out.
Well, you're in the same hippo weight
food.
Category.
Hippo
Hear me
food.
Out. Hippo food, some grass.
Yeah.
Smell the cheese. Poof, fuck off.
Yeah.
Straight in its eye.
What you actually want is about 6 or 7 small white plastic balls.
Nah, hippos are scary. I've been chased, but I've been chased by buffalo, hippo. We had a hyena come in our house once. That was like that's proper
gnarly.
Scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll just come and bite your head and you sleep in your bed, you know. So we someone left the gate open in the garden, and then someone left the kitchen door open, and then I had friends over that night, and I've 6 a.m, my mum comes into my bedroom. It's like, why did you leave the living room in such a mess? Oh my God, I left you. I trusted you. I'm like, what? And I'm like 7 years old or something. Go into the living room and it was trashed, man. And we're like, it wasn't us. Who was it then? Anyway, go to the kitchen and again, everything's trash. And then we saw some footprints. And then went outside and followed the footprints. And it was like, yeah, it was hyena.
That's a great way of getting out of that, though. Thank fuck for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's a real good alibi.
Yeah. Because we had trashed the place.
That'd be amazing.
And they went to look for a hyena. Come on, boy.
That's it. How to get away with a Zimbabwean house party.
Yeah.
Just at the end of it, you let one hyena loose. And you're like, bloody hyena. Hey, he's ruined everything.
It's actually a bit hack now. It's like the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
Oh, the hyena. Hyena trashed it.
Oh, yeah. Hyena trashed your house, did he?
That old one, yeah.
How can we move from Zimbabwe over to the UK?
Well, we moved to South Africa when I was younger because my dad...
Oh, whereabouts?
In KwaZulu-Natal, Zululand, up near Mozambique.
So. I did not know why I asked.
Yeah, I knew that.
I've been to South Africa.
Yeah, I know.
But I've only been to Cape Town.
Yeah, no, this is a 2-day drive from Cape Town, the other end.
It was it was very nice, but there was an awful lot of poverty. Like a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what you were expecting. Yeah.
Less poverty.
Right.
And there was a lot of poverty. There was lots of it.
Yeah.
It was poverty ridden, I would say.
And this is a man from Preston.
Yeah. It was mad. But I went to Cape Town, and like it's so mad seeing the divide, because like people who've got a bit of money, they live in fucking so nice.
Yeah,
but the people who don't, it's like Jesus wept.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, even when I go back now, even though I grew up in Africa, I'm not cool with that. You know, it's a struggle. Yeah, it is a struggle. Yeah. Like just because it doesn't make sense. Like it's So, but I grew up in a bubble, you know. I just grew up in these big game parks.
Yeah,
you know, I spoke Zulu as a kid, so like I was fully out of it.
Can you still speak Zulu?
A little bit, like I've lost a lot.
If you don't speak a language, Reg, you just lose it.
How do you say my name is?
Ngingu, I am. Ngingu Sean.
Ngingu.
Yeah.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ngingu.
Why do you want that phrase in particular? You're trying to do Eminem lyrics. Ngingu.
Hi, Ngingu.
Ngingu Slim Shady.
Yeah, my Zulu nickname as a kid was Bomvu, which is the red one.
Yeah, I assumed it meant something ginger.
And now...
That's universal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's in Chebe, the bearded one. Yeah.
Nice. Oh. How long did your beard have to get before they stopped focusing on the ginger?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I've got to get away from the ginger somehow. Go to the beard.
Really is nice to know that wherever you are in the world,
it's a universal thing.
Ginger people.
Oh, yeah. It's socially accepted bullying, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of very few that's left because, fat shaming is frowned upon nowadays. I mean, I'm still holding the fort over here, but, you know, so we're only really down to gingers now. Thank you for the service you provided for the rest of us.
No, the woke crowd didn't include us, unfortunately.
No, they really haven't. It's one they've just gone, yeah, you can still have gingers.
Yeah.
Go on, right. Yeah, we all like taking the piss out of gingers, obviously.
It's actually what united South Africa when you...
When I left.
The Rainbow Nation, but not ginger.
Just imagine Mandela being like, we all ate gingers though, don't we?
Come on, guys. Let's unite.
One of my biggest regrets in life is actually I got the chance to meet Mandela and I chose not to when I was a kid.
How come?
I was an idiot.
Yeah.
He was having his birthday at my school because we had big rugby fields and stuff. And it was during the school holidays, and they were like, oh, we're looking for some volunteers to help out with Mandela's 80th birthday party. And I was like, nah, busy. Yeah. And I literally lived like 10 minutes down the road. It's not as if like I was.
Oh, wow.
But you're a child. You don't really get the scale of what it is.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm kicking myself now.
Yeah. Would you rather meet one of the most famous people who ever lived on their 80th birthday when they're about to die or play this PlayStation that you can play at any point at
all? Well, I didn't even have that excuse. Genuinely, I can't even tell you what. I just was like, nah.
But you like that when you're a kid, innit?
It was so stupid. Yeah.
Shit.
Anyway. Yeah, fuck you, Mandela. Yeah. I've got a rhino to look at.
I'm trying to think if I could have met anybody that.
You would have exactly done that, though. Like, surely you can relate to that. That's the most relatable thing Sean has said to you. Yeah.
If Mandela was in my garden, I might tilt my head slightly to have a look. Yeah. That's the level of shit that I give about anything, really. Yeah. I don't get those people that like are desperate to meet famous people.
Yeah, I know, but like Mandela is like another thing. Like, you know, he's like a cultural icon. It did incredible things. I'd like to shake the man's hand, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was just post the Rugby World Cup, which we won.
Yeah, it was pretty big. 1995.
Yeah, it was just after that and everything. So, like, he was an important, inspirational person to me, and I somehow still went, nah, I'm busy. So it's my parent. Like, it's my mate who his grandfather offered him when he was like 10 or 12, like a Lord's cricket, like lifetime membership, which is hereditary. You pass it down. And he was like, nah, I don't think so. So he like gave it away or sold it, whatever. And I was like, why did you even give me the option? You should have just been like, you are taking this one day. And I think my parents should have done that to me. Like, you are going to stay at school in the holidays.
Maybe.
And you are going to do this. Don't give me the option.
You need that taking over.
The monkey in me was just like, nah, I've got other things that I'm messing around with.
What is this monkey and terrier thing that you keep referring
to? I just worked it out that I have these two characteristics.
Is there a test that you can do?
Probably. I've been.
You've done your own thing.
Yeah, I've just like micro analyzed the decisions I make and the things that motivate me.
Got a lot of time to think about this.
Yeah,
sort of thing,
well, exactly. Yeah. And because like every now and then, and it was usually every couple of years, I found myself in this period of like just feeling like agitated and like I was like, oh, just nothing excited me about life, even though everything was going well. I wasn't depressed or anything, but I was like, oh, you know, just like itchy feet, like oh, and then. I did something that was, I cycled the length of Britain, 2008, and doing that, and it was miserable, and it was cold, and I was slow, it took me 25 days, the record's 2 days, like this, so that's how slow it was. I remember getting back from that going, this is what I need in life. I just need something that's stupidly pointless, has no real relevance to anything, it's not going to change the world, but I need to do it, and unfortunately, that's just what I have to do.
Yeah.
And then because of that, it's now become a job and there's the you know, I'd like to think some people who read my story get some inspiration out of it. So it's not completely selfish, even though it sort of is. I've just worked out. And then once the terrier is fed, so like doing the 105, the terrier is cool now. So now I can be a monkey again and it's awesome. You know, and I can just like mess things up and I break stuff just so I can fix it.
What animal do you most identify with?
Octopus with bread knife gaffer tape to his tentacles.
That's a deep dive, isn't it?
Deep dive, little callback.
What about you, Tom?
I don't know, I think about that.
Cheeky little grasshopper.
Little puppy. Chipmunk, maybe.
Total chipmunk energy. But like a really like nasty rabid one that'll give you an infection.
Yeah, probably.
I think I'm a duck.
In what way? You like bread?
And rape. So that I move on.
I think some sort of sloth.
No, I'd be a sloth's the easy choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I sort of get the monkey terrier thing, but like, have you ever been diagnosed with ADHD?
So,
no. Because like, I'm related to you a lot in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
so, like,
I probably am, but I don't think it hinders me.
No, and you don't, like, if you've got a way of dealing with it, you sound.
Yeah, and also... But and I think ADHD, you can have hyper-focus, because I can be hyper-focused.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's one of the symptoms, mate. Yeah.
For months on end. Not just hyper-focus for an afternoon on doing something important, but I can really dial
get
in.
Into something.
Like when I'm writing my books, I'm super hyper-focused. When I'm doing the challenges, I'm hyper-focused. So Yeah, but I probably am. Probably am. I've been told that a lot.
I'd say so. Yeah. Game recognised game.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, all that basically can happen if you get diagnosed is they try and find some coping method for you. And if you've got one, you fuck.
Yeah, just do 105 Ironmans. If you've got ADHD. Yeah, it's great.
I'm glad mine's just stand-up comedy. Like, you know, I just go, I get my adrenaline rush. I go stand in front of people and make some jokes. I get my buzz. That satisfies my terrier.
That's terrifying for me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what's so funny with like stuff like that. Like, I can think of nothing worse than doing an Iron Man, let alone 105. No. 20 minutes on stage, lovely.
No, I can do the stage thing. Like, I've talked to Google and I've done a TED Talk to, like, however many people logged in. But to do the like, trying to be... I couldn't do it.
He can't either. Yeah.
It gives me panic attacks, just like, you know, because you've just... your whole...
It is like a uniquely vulnerable thing. Yeah. Like, there is the feeling of trying to be funny and having it fail very badly is like a unique experience. You tried stand up recently, didn't you, Tom? You know what that feels like.
I did try it.
You know what it feels like to be shit at stand up?
Well, I was, I wouldn't say I was really shit, but I was a bit shit. The problem with me was I wasn't worried about it. I just didn't enjoy the good bits at all, but hated the bad bits. So I just got no enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, so.
I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, fair enough. Good.
But I have signed up for a triathlon recently, though.
Have you?
But it's not an Ironman. It's a sprint one, so it's the equivalent. So where your equivalent is a marathon.
A baby one.
The run I'm doing is 5K. It's easy.
A triathlon, a chino. Like a baby chino at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Well, it's the short. You get four versions, and they double in distance each time. Right. Okay. So sprint doubles to the Olympic, doubles to the half, doubles to the full.
Okay, so any tips for Tom when he's doing his shit little triathlon?
Baby one, pathetic
that isn't
one.
Kids triathlon. Yeah.
That isn't impressive at all, and literally anybody could do it
also,
anytime.
Also, I've already done one before. I'm just doing it again.
It's the run that really hurts often. If you're not run fit, that's the thing that'll kill you. Whereas if you're super run fit, you can probably survive the bike.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest tip, really. And the swim doesn't really matter. It's only 10 minutes. So, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm going to win.
Yeah. My other tip is every time someone overtakes you on the bike, just shout, shit swimmer. Because it means you got out the pool before them. Yeah. Makes you feel better.
Well, nice. last time I did it, I got overtaken on the bike a lot.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So you're obviously a good swimmer.
Do you want a feature?
Well, I guess we're going to have to.
Oh, this feature will not die.
We have the best feature of any podcast, Sean.
Hey, Sean, listen, I know 105, 106 marathon, fucking Ironmans might seem like a big endurance to you. Just wait until you've sat through this fucking feature. Holy shit.
Everyone loves this feature. Only Freddie and Rob don't like it.
Your monkey and terrier are about to commit suicide.
It's time for Cunt of the Week.
Oh, it's lab baby.
I know what you're thinking, Sean. You're probably thinking, well, that was quite a nice intro, that. That's quite impressive. That's the best that this gets.
Yeah, it's only downhill from here.
Falls downhill.
Only downhill from here.
So what happens, Sean, is I'm going to tell you three stories. These have been sent in by our ugly listeners, and they've all nominated a cunt of the week. We're going to decide who the cunt of the week is, and we're going to have loads of fun along the way. First story is called...
Some of that is not true.
first story is called Crabs. I would like to nominate my flatmate, who, after getting crabs from a one-night stand, decided to self-medicate by using my electric razor to shave off his pubes. This meant I got crabs, but in my beard, which I passed on to my now ex-girlfriend by going down on her. When she discovered the crabs, she came round, accusing me of cheating and broke up with me. It took my flatmate, who heard the argument, months to come clean about using my razor.
Can you get crabs in your beard?
Well, it looks like it.
Beard crabs.
You can. It's just hair, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think they're very specifically pube dwellers, aren't they?
Pube dwellers? What an insult for somebody. Shut up, you little pube dweller.
Well, what is a beard if not face pubes?
Correct, Tom. Yeah, no, fair play. I think it's like slightly different, though.
I think you can definitely get crabs in a beard.
I think if you could get crabs in your beard, I would have done by now.
If only where there was like there was one of us that was sat in front of some sort of device that had access to the answer to every question. Yeah, there we go.
There you go. Crabs in your beard. Here we go.
They may occasionally be found on other coarse body hair, such as legs, armpits, moustache.
What, eyebrows?
Eyebrows.
Fucking eyebrow crabs.
How are you getting them in there?
I went down on her disapprovingly.
I went slightly too far down on her.
That's what happens when you get licked out by the rock. If you smell.
It's bad that they didn't come clean straight away. I think if you've given anyone crabs, you need to immediately.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, those are my crabs. Can I have them back?
I got crabs from a fisherman once.
Yeah.
Actual cry game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sonny Freddy in a sauna.
My mate used to have a flat, and it was like the party flat, yeah. You know, that he used to go to when we were like 20s or whatever. And he had this flatmate called Ian. And you had to say Ian. You couldn't say Ian. Anyway.
Why? Whose rule was that?
That was just the rule.
Okay.
That was the rule. That was his name. So Ian used to go home at weekends. He's lived in Coventry or somewhere, and he'd go see his girlfriend. But we used to always sleep in his bed, and he got really annoyed by it. So he put a lock on the front of his door. So the first weekend that his lock was on his door, all we had to do was unscrew the door to get in. My mate stayed in his room, shagged this girl in his room. And then Ian, the next week, came back with his girlfriend and found loads of blonde hair in his bed. So his girlfriend immediately dumped him, and that was that. She just finished him because my mate shagged a girl in his bed.
And no one thought to like explain the situation?
Nope, because we'd screwed the lock back on his door, and he was so angry about that, no one wanted to say that they'd unscrewed his thing. So that was that.
So we all just kept quiet?
Yeah. Everyone kept quiet, and then that was the end of Ian. He moved back.
If Ian's watching this, is this him finding out about it now?
Yeah, you know what we also used to do? Ian had a kayak, right? And
why?
Why the fuck did he have a kayak?
He's that guy who, when a town floods, is kayaking down the high street. I always wonder where they get that from.
Wait, I've done that.
Yeah, you don't surprise me, though, to be honest, mate. Yeah.
Did it on every flood in Britain. So he had this kayak and this flat. There's like four stories. And one night we got back from town and we did time trials of who can kayak down the stairs the fastest, down four stories. And it annoyed a lot of people.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it's very loud.
Yeah, right. So you're nominating yourself for Cunt of the Week?
Oh, no, it wasn't me that did this. My friend who did that. Okay. I was just there.
Maybe we should get your friend on the podcast then.
Maybe we should.
Right. What's?
I just love the idea that Ian's crying and everyone's like, oh, what's wrong, Ian?
The next one is called Child Hurter. Am I Cunt of the Week? Last year, I went on holiday with my girlfriend and her family. Whilst on the beach, her six-year-old brother asked me if I wanted to play football. As we were playing, I pushed him off the ball and he fell over. As soon as he hit the floor, he started screaming. Initially, I thought he was being overdramatic and started laughing, trying to pick him up onto his feet, but he kept on dropping down and screaming louder and louder. What made me realise he wasn't faking it was when he passed out from the pain. At this point, his dad came over, pushed me away from him and called me a cunt. Turns out when he fell over, he tore his ACL and MCL, which I didn't think kids could do.
Jesus Christ.
This cut his and his dad's holiday.
That's a season out.
This cut his and his dad's holiday very short, and I just stayed in the room for the remainder of the trip. I'm still with the girl, but haven't been round to her house since.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's bad, that. Yeah, you've destroyed a child's leg.
How hard did he push that fucking kid, man?
No, you don't have to land. If you land weird, you don't have to push him hard.
Yeah, some of the worst injuries, they're not from bad tackles, are they?
That's when you know it's bad, when a footballer just goes down nowhere near anyone. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's a horrific
twisted
one.
Studs.
Sometimes it's just, just a little tiny thing and just pop. Yeah.
Is that the horror injury for you, Sean?
Those two are bad, those two, yeah.
Have you had them?
No.
No.
Luckily,
those are the ones you... Inshallah. Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, it's not great. I don't think this kid's going to be doing any Ironmans anytime soon.
Well, you can get surgery on them, so...
Yeah. And if you... Look, injuries when you happen when you're very young heal better than when you're older, really. Yeah. So, you know.
Shit. Maybe the kid's a pussy.
But the kid's got shit knees. Sorry that your child's... That's what you need to do when you go round eventually, because you're going to have to face up to them eventually if you're staying with this girl. Eventually, you've got to walk in and just be like to the kid, like, how are your shit knees? You've got to own it.
I think you've got to do the other knee.
just fucking Roy Keane, the other one.
Oh, God, that's pretty... That's pretty cunty, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but it's also one of those
things
where you're just playing, you're fucking around, you don't think anything's going to happen. It's not great.
I remember my my uncle broke my brother's arm playing football once. Mm-hmm. And my brother was like, you know, in goal or whatever. He was just having a little kick about. My uncle just twatted a ball and broke his arm. But then, but everyone was like, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, my brother was fuming, but like, in fact, you know, I don't even think he was that arsed. I think everyone was just like, oh, it's a funny accident that happened.
My uncle did his, I think maybe ACL, but something, did a proper bad ligament damage playing cricket with me in the garden. I didn't know. Like, I thought he was just like mucking around. He went to bowl a ball. Just like landed weird,
yeah.
Knee went like weird, and he was just like on the floor screaming in agony. And I was like, "Ah, shall I hit it better with the bat?" And he was just like, "No, no, no!" But he was like a sports guy. He did like he like worked for the FA, like doing like sports training and shit. So like, yeah, real bad. Just absolutely fucked himself up.
Say what you say what you want about my sedentary lifestyle. I probably have the best ACLs in the game.
You must have very strong lower legs from the amount of you know doing 300-pound squats about three times a day. Right.
Yeah, just getting upstairs is quite an intense activity.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's like doing the Atlas stones in The World's Strongest Man.
What, my two arse cheeks?
Yeah, the Atlas flabs.
Okay, last one. This one's called Volunteer. I've been working at a primary school for over a year now, working 3 days a week. I'm basically an extra adult in Key Stage 1, Year 5 and Year 6. I help kids with things like reading and track their progress, forest skills, do all the high-frequency word monitoring for Year 1 and 2. I also do one-on-one phonics.
Oh,
with the
I don't care.
Loads of shit. Loads of shit.
Already a cunt of the week for telling you me all are, that jargon about teaching I don't care
you
about.
You are basically a TA.
Yeah. Loads of shit.
All of that stuff. Phonics is just like how words sound and shit like that.
PE, first aid.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm an after-school club that's grown from 3 students to 11 in just 7 months.
Oh, that's dreadful.
Why
what's
are
that?
You giving us your CV?
What's that? It's just over one a month. Yeah, it's just over one
we
child.
We now have
month.
11 kids in an after-school club. Well, laddie, fucking da. Jesus, yeah.
The thing is, I'm only a volunteer. I'm not getting paid. Who's the cunt here? The school for not offering me a paid job or me for letting myself get made a mug of?
What are you on about? What did you think was happening when you volunteered? You're a volunteer. They don't get paid. That's what a volunteer is.
Yeah, because the thing is what's I've changed my mind here. What's happened is you've come to the school and gone, can I do some work for you? And they've gone, we'll find some stuff for this useless cunt to do. And now you're like, well, why am I not getting paid for it? Because if you died tomorrow, they'd find another way to do this. And those 11 kids would forget about your after-school club instantly. They would forget instantly. Yeah. You're a prick for making it out like your life's important. It's not. The end.
Yeah, but you've covered it there.
Yeah.
There we go.
He's the biggest cunt.
Right.
Well, or she.
Yeah, it's actually a them.
It's a them.
It's a them.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A famous them that likes the podcast.
Okay.
So,
Reb, you're a cunt.
So the cunt of the week we've got is the crabs guy.
Yeah.
The guy who gave a kid an ACL.
Yeah.
Or Reb.
What a tough one this time. I'm going Reb.
You going Reb?
Last one for me. Yeah.
What's your vote, Sean?
Although the crabs thing, that
crabs
like,
is
he,
pretty
he
bad.
Knew.
Not admitting it.
Yeah, like there was like definite mistruths there.
Mm. Yeah. I could see the crabs being a worthwhile vote.
But then you're right. You know, if you're going to volunteer for something, don't do it unless you want to do it.
Exactly. Just ask now. Ask now. Yeah. You've got all this experience. Go. I've got all this experience now. Can I have a real job?
Yeah. And when they say no, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
Schools don't have any money.
They'll say no so quickly.
So quickly. You go. Can I have no?
Because I'm an extra adult in Key Stage 1. At no point, and I've been a teacher, at no point have I ever been like, oh, I need an extra adult to help me with these 10-year-olds. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you need less adults around.
Yeah, they're like increasing the class size.
I'm going to go crabs as well.
So it's a draw.
It's a draw.
It's a draw.
Let's spin the wheel. We've not had a draw for a while.
For fuck's sake.
We're going to spin the wheel to find out who's cunt of the week.
This is the problem with it. There's always 4 votes, so it's always a draw.
It's time for Cunt of the Week.
Right, let's see. When you spin the wheel, who is it going to be? Who's it going to be? And it's Lab Baby.
Lab Baby's Cunt of the Week. Well done, Lab Baby. Send me your address. I'll send you a prize.
Well, another spectacular success.
Another success.
Cunt of the Week.
Cunt of the Week.
The feature that will not die.
Do some videos?
Okay, so now, Sean, I'm not sure if you've not seen the podcast before, have you? Now, we like to end the podcast with our fans like to send us in some fun little videos they found on the internet. And when I say fun little videos, horrifying things that will scar you for life. Now, if you've got a video you'd like to send in, it's 07354 188 257 on WhatsApp. As ever, there are rules. No animal shagging, no racism, no deliberate death. And what's the other one?
No kids.
No kids, no kids. Unless, of course, you get all four in one video, in which case it's a full house. So send it in. is there anything in particular that like turns your stomach or anything like that? Are you pretty iron stomached, Sean?
I think I'm pretty good, but then also everything turns my stomach.
Brilliant. Well, there is a Dead Man Talking branded sick bucket down there should you need at any point. And also, these will get progressively worse if you want to tap out at any point.
We're going to play a little game first. We did it last week.
Yeah.
Or maybe we didn't. I can't remember if the episode got deleted. But we're going to play a game called What Happens Next?
What Happens Next? Right. Well, so there is...
It's a man on a
bath. I really can't watch it.
He stood on a bath. Wow. There's a woman underneath him.
You are not built for this, mate. If you've just seen a penis and you've got to have tapped out...
It's a woman stood over. It's a bloke stood over a woman.
I don't like the health and safety of this. I'm calling the slip or fall.
A slip or fall.
Slip or fall.
I don't think that's a woman. I think that is a transgender person.
Okay, that's not really important. I don't think.
No, yeah. I think that they stand up and they've got a big fat cock.
Right. That's how you think you end.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen next, Sean?
I slip and fall.
Yeah.
Slip and fall.
I think it's our top favourite.
ACL's
coming up here.
Oh!
Oh, and then someone's put a funny TikTok thing at the end of it.
Slip and fall, hurt his ball.
Oh, that one
is brutal.
Yeah. I enjoy What Happens Next. It's a good game, isn't
it? It's a good game. Right on the edge of the bath. That's going to be a stinger.
Okay, let's...
Why was he intent on getting his dick sucked in that particular
It's a weird
way.
Angle to go for. That is a man who's had his dick sucked too many times. He's like bored of every other... He's done it 105 blowies in a row. And he's like, just as a spectacular finish.
Iron blows. It's like he wanted his dick sucked like she was like a... You know, like Roman emperors just like had eight grapes. Like, what a bizarre way to go about it.
Very decadent.
What sort of absolute fucking arsehole decides to reinvent the blowjob?
It's arrogant, you know, isn't it?
It's
you don't
perfect.
Need a postmodern blowy.
It's perfect how it is.
For TikTok.
Yeah.
Blame TikTok.
It's the internet age, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just doing it for the likes.
Nonsense. Yeah.
This is called Don't Bite Our Boat. It's pretty obvious what's going to happen next, there's a funny line at the end.
Okay.
Don't bite our boat.
There's a man on a boat. There's a big, like a little shark.
Oh!
Oh.
God, you should have let it bite the boat.
Fuck!
Okay. Oh.
You missed the line.
Fuck! I lost my goddamn pinky.
I am squirmish for that sort of stuff.
That pinky went off quick. It's only a little shark, but like a little shark will get
twisted,
your pinky, and it just went whip, ripped it off, innit? That flip round.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. Right in front of your child. Because like the thing is, the dude's got to keep it together as well, because his kid's there. So he can't be like, he's trying to not make it traumatic for the kid.
Yeah, because that
well.
Kid will be afraid of water for the rest of its life.
Oh, yeah, that kid's not going swimming ever again.
No. Nope.
Like, that's done. Yeah. They're only going to have to do 2/3 of the triathlon.
Some in circles from now.
All right.
This one's called Dart.
Oh, that's always fun.
Dart's going to be a dart in someone's face, I think.
Do you reckon?
Or testicles.
Or a van growing.
A bald man?
No. No.
No. With a dart?
No. 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 No.
Is it his fucking head?
I can't watch this. Oh, it's too. Yeah.
He threw a dart in a bald man's head.
To be honest with you, they all seemed really happy about it.
Yeah.
Even the guy who got hit with a dart.
He was so chill about it.
Yeah.
Like, look, we've all been in a pub bored in an afternoon.
Are you all right?
I can't. I'm so cringe with like. Any of that sort of stuff.
Oh,
that one
so
was gnarly.
Like paper cuts and
that
things.
That one was gnarly.
The worst one that we... It's not even the worst dart one we've been seeing. The worst dart one was the girl where it went into her eye.
Oh, yeah, that one was bad. Yeah.
She walked past the dartboard and he threw it and it just stuck in her eye. It was like...
Because he's bald, what they should be doing there, draw a dartboard on his head.
Yeah, you really want to complete the bit. Yeah. It's so crazy. But, like, yeah, that is just, like, every pub in Britain has three bald blokes in doing something weird on an afternoon. Yeah. And, like, you know, that one's escalated.
And I used to be one of those bored, bald blokes.
I know. I used to be one of those blokes. That was my life for a while. But me and my mate Steve would just throw M&Ms across the pub and try and catch them in our mouth. We'd leave the darts on the board, you know.
This is called Moped. It's a fun one.
When you say it's a fun one...
Yeah, it's just a little silly fun one. Yeah. This one is. This one could have gone first, to be honest.
Yeah.
Little silly one. Oh, what?
That's genuinely impressive.
That's brilliant.
Two people riding a moped shagging.
That's brilliant.
The balance is impressive.
What is wrong with the internet? I'm sorry.
She's putting a lot of trust in him as well.
Yeah, because he's got the handlebars as well.
Right.
That is impressive.
Hear me out.
That is an impressive skill, yeah.
What if that was the Grand National?
I like the idea that, like, one of them doesn't make it and they have to just put a curtain around the scooter.
Yeah. One of the women died at Beecher's Brook. I just think that that's quality.
That is quite impressive, to be fair.
Who suggests that? He's got to be him.
Well, it's the fella, isn't it?
Yeah.
I assume he's an Italian fella.
That's not her fantasy.
Ah, Giuseppe, bump me on a scooter.
Giuseppe.
Right, so we have one more and then we'll wind it in.
Let's watch two more.
Okay.
Okay, Sean, you might not like this one. This has got a biker.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Riding his motorbike.
Oh.
Oh, is it a car, but he's carrying
on. He's still going.
What's he
done? His leg's not in a good way.
Oh, I know. I'm not watching.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. You made a good choice, Sean.
Oh, my God.
Bet you missed that dart, don't you, Sean?
Yeah.
I'm
glad.
Oh, my God.
It looked like Kermit the Frog's arm.
That was wild.
That's why you need to wear leathers, boys and girls.
That was protective wild.
I can't believe you didn't crash. Kept it together.
The fact that he stayed on that.
You look away, Sean. Can we watch that one more time? Because I just
took my headphones.
Yeah, maybe you don't need the sound. That is fucking hell.
Can't deal with it.
That's insane.
Sean, I'm going to make you watch this 105 times in a row.
It looks so innocuous. Oh my God, there's a huge gash down the side of his leg.
Dude, is that half his foot?
Yep.
Is that half his... Yeah. That might be one of the worst ones. That might be one of the worst injury ones we've ever been sent.
Yeah, oh, that's really great.
That is wild.
So thanks to whoever sent that in. It's again 07354-188-257 on WhatsApp.
That's wild.
One more?
I don't know. I think that might be a top. I think we've got to tap out there. That one's fucking done.
Okay, we'll save the other two.
We'll save it for next week.
Am I like the worst guest for that sort of stuff?
Oh, you might be the most squeamish.
I didn't realise. No, actually, I knew I was squeamish.
Yeah.
But as soon as you saw a guy falling on a bathtub, I was like, he's not going to.
He's not making the end of these.
Oh, mate. I think we might have found an endurance sport that I've beaten you at.
You can have it.
Sean, this has been an absolute blast, mate. Like, genuine, thanks so much for coming in and, like, really enjoying it. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, just search me, I guess.
Find Sean Conway, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the only one with a beard.
And look out for you, like, running across shits, like, cycling across everything. Good luck to you, mate, with the rest of them. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
What should we plug?
If you've liked this, get on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/deadmentalkpod. If you want to see those videos, that's the only way to do it. You've got to be a patron and get on our Discord. It's the only place we're legally allowed to host them.
And even then,
we get quite a few deleted. So join us there. It's £3 a month. You can have a free trial for a week to check it out. You get an extra episode every week. Plus, like, there's hundreds of hours of things on there now on our Patreon. So get that checked out. Come see us at Dead Meat July 27th. It's going to be our comedy and podcast and general carnage festival in Manchester. It's going to be fucking sick. The lineup's amazing already. Yeah, get your tickets at deadmentalkpod.com.
Plus, we're both at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Both at the Edinburgh Fringe. And Freddie will be on tour later in the year.
I'm on tour October, November. It's sold really, really well at the moment. We're close to selling out on a couple of... In fact, by the time that this episode comes out, we'll probably have sold out a couple of dates. And the rest of them are selling really well as well. So get your tickets or we up and get them now.
Yeah, thanks very much for supporting us and that. Like and subscribe. I don't know, fuck off.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.